B-Pod Studios.
If you're talking about the other five receivers I just mentioned being off the board already, then I'm fine. But if you can go out there and still get one of those five, then don't take a linebacker. For the love of God, don't take the linebacker.
So,
but we don't think they're going to take a linebacker in the first round anyway. So go ahead and just take one of the wide receivers.
All right. So most of the mocks have the receivers starting to go, whether it's Judy first or whoever it may be, at like 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, somewhere around there, and the first three going within probably the first 15. What if a run on wide receivers starts going earlier?
No.
Mark, it might look like one of your five might not be there.
Right.
When do you make that decision to move up? What if Judy goes, say, I don't know, fifth to the Dolphins, sixth, you know, something like that, something crazy.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you see CeeDee Lamb goes. And before you even get to 10, two or maybe even three of those top guys are gone. Well, now is it panic time? Move up because you have to ensure yourself of getting one of the five that you mentioned, Mark? Mm-hmm. Or is it still okay just to hang back and say, all right, we're still going to get a good receiver?
Under no circumstances do I want them to trade back. I want them to make sure they get the
best possible not trade player. Back. Would you go up to make sure you get one of those five that you
said?
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Because if you're going to five, for instance, then they could do the more traditional thing. And we'll get into that right here, as a matter of fact, Bob. Perfect segue here. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. This is where we get into the Sal Powell conversation. We talked about a little bit at the top of the show. Sal Powell talked about Howie's aggression on draft day. Yesterday, and I stick by this, I don't see Howie moving up 10 or 11 spots to make sure he gets CeeDee Lamb. I don't think that's been his MO to move up that much in the draft. You talk about the draft day move-ups from Howie Roseman. You go back to 2012 where he moved up to get Fletcher Cox, went from 15 to 12. So he moved up three spots. You look at 2019, moved up three spots to get Andre Dillard. I think that falls in, obviously, what we were saying yesterday. What I was saying was, between three and five picks is what I could see Howie Roseman moving up to get one of the receivers that he wants. One of these top five that I would put it as, right? I would look at him to move up three to five spots. I don't see him going back to moving up 11 spots for a guy like CeeDee Lamb. I would do it. I don't see Howie Roseman doing it. But if you fall within those three to five picks in front and one of those guys is still available and you feel like you could jump in for maybe your second round pick, maybe your third round pick and a fourth round pick, because remember you do have three fourths, maybe then you can finagle your way up to do the first round pick swap, move up three to five spots and be able to get whoever's still there, whether that be Jerry Jeudy, whether that be CeeDee Lamb, whether that be Henry Ruggs, or whether that be Justin Jefferson, or even Denzel Mims. Those are the names that I think most people will be focused on, including the Eagles in their own front office, when going after this draft. Denzel Mims said 3 weeks ago that the Eagles were at the forefront. They were on the forefront of his mind when he was asked about teams that contact him most often. He said that again recently. So I think he is very much on the board right there for the Eagles, and they're obviously interested in him. He's more on the back end of that. He's the fourth or fifth best receiver, I believe, in this draft. If the Eagles are in touch with him that much, I think that only alludes to the idea more so that they're looking to stand pat at 21 and take Denzel Mims if he's still there on the board. I think if it comes down to Jefferson or Mims, I think they go Jefferson. I think if Mims is the only one still there out of the top five, I think they go Mims.
All right. Okay. However these top three are going to play out, I think is going to have a big, big say in what the Eagles do. And, you know, if CeeDee Lamb's the last of the three to go and he goes at like 15, okay, well then I think you're pretty easy if you're the Eagles saying, okay, I might be able to stay at 21 to maybe get a Mims or a Rieger or whoever, you know, you're looking at, maybe a Justin Jefferson. Maybe you're okay doing that. I just worry that if these top three guys go within the top 10, so you have 11 picks and there's only two or three guys that maybe you think, all right, I'm okay at 21 receiver-wise, do you have to trade up to get one of those guys? We've talked all along about trading up to get one of the top three, but we haven't talked about maybe having to trade up to get one of these, you know, top five or six.
I think that's when you trade back.
I still would.
That's when you trade back, Jamie, and Mark.
Yeah.
That's funny. You guys said two different things at the exact same time.
Well, obviously.
Mark and I would battle in the draft room. In the war room, there would literally be a war between us.
I'd be like, Jamie, your line's breaking up. I can't remember what you're saying.
Oh, we lost you. We click.
Yeah.
Look at the IT guy. I did that on purpose. I'm all about just making sure you're getting help in this offense. And I wouldn't feel this way if the Eagles went, if they didn't go through an offseason where they're like, offense? We still have an offense? What? Every move they made was defensive. And we'll talk about it until the draft, probably. The only move they made offensively was bringing in Nate Sudfeld for another year, right? That's the only thing they've done to address anything offensively. Defense has been the bell of the ball for this squad. You got to do something here offensively to make sure you're getting somebody to come in here and have an impact. You got to do that. And yes, it's a deep draft, but don't you want to make sure you have the upper echelon players? Howie also got into the idea of the talent dropping off in the first round. He said, when you go into a draft, and this is interesting because there's 32 picks, right, in the first round. He goes, there's no way all 32 of those players have first round grades. There is a drop-off of talent, and I think at wide receiver, there is still, yes, you could get serviceable players down the road here in the draft, of course, but if you really want those impactful guys, guys that really do have a chance to not just be in some role player, but a guy to really have a say in how your offense goes, whether it's going to be a big gain from last year or it's going to be another drop-off from last year, I think those guys exist in the top five, top six wide receivers. I go top five here. If one of those top five becomes available and is within a couple of picks of you, 3 to 5 picks, that's where you, I think, need to be aggressive and trade up.
Hmm. And, Jamie, you're just all set on going backwards, aren't you?
No, I just think they have to use the nerd word, optionality. I think that they do have a lot of optionality here because of how, I think after those top three, there's a lot of similarities between the next 3 to 4 guys.
All right.
So I just don't think you have a gun to your head if those big three go.
Here's from Sal Pal yesterday. I'll give you these numbers again here. He said that the Eagles, they want one of the top wide receiver targets, so he acknowledged that, and Sal tells us all the time that, and this is true, he's around that team almost more than anybody, and he even texts with the head coach. So, fourth most draft day trades over the last 10 years, Howie Roseman. Fourth most draft day trades since 2010. 5 of them have been in the first round. 3 of those have been to move up in the draft to take somebody they had their eye on, whether that be Dillard, like I mentioned, whether that be Fletcher Cox, or whether that be Brandon Graham. This does not include trading up to get Carson Wentz, because obviously that wasn't a draft day trade, but still, that's moving up in the draft. So technically, I guess you could look at 4 different occasions over the last 10 years that Howie has moved up from the spot that the Eagles were at. I think if you get between 3 and 5 picks of a guy that you really want, the Eagles will move up to get him.
Hmm.
And I wouldn't feel that way if they did something this offseason, like adding even a Brandon Cooks or maybe even as great as DeAndre Hopkins or Stephon Diggs. I wouldn't feel that way, probably most likely because they might not have a first-round pick, especially with Stephon Diggs' deal. But they haven't done anything to help out their offense, so they got to make sure they do that in the draft.
Yeah, and as you said, the probability leans towards Howie doing something instead of just sitting still at 21. The probability is that he will do something if past experience is what we're going on here. I he's had to have made the decision already. Am I going big three? Am I settling? Am I, bunching everybody after the big three? Do I have a bunch of 5 or 6 guys who I deem about the same? And therefore, lean towards what Jamie's talking about and trade back and pick up some more picks. You just have to sit back and pray for no disconnection on the phone lines come Thursday night.
Well, you know what? I feel like I don't want to go negative on Howie today. That's my MO for the day. That's my theme of the day. I don't want to go negative on Howie. So let's go to somebody that's always optimistic on Howie Roseman. Mike in King of Prussia. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
First of all, Microsoft Teams sucks. who's running a meeting off Microsoft Teams? That never works well.
I've had no issue with it. I've been using Skype, it for 4 months, 5 months.
What are we poor? Run Skype for Business like a normal adult. I mean, all right. So here's my thing. Can we just start with how he sounds like such a jock sniffing nerd? Oh, I do all these fist bumps and high fives, and we sit there and watch the highlights. What a nerd.
Like, what do you mean? Are you going to rip him for camaraderie amongst the people he works with?
This is our routine. We do fifth. He reminds me of Bobby Boucher begging for high fives after a tackle. Like, I mean, the, what a nerd.
Mike, you are, Mike, you're terrible.
I can't, every time I hear him talk, I get more annoyed. I just can't, I can't deal with him. And I know Bob's going to be like, well, that's how I feel about you. All right, well, whatever.
That's not at all true, Mike. You know that.
So I can't. And the fact, the more that you say, like, this is the perfect chance for him to prove us wrong, is the more I believe he's going to prove us right. And he's going to do something stupid. He's going to bring in the wrong wide receiver, and that person is going to be another J.J. Arcega-Whiteside clone. We're going to have two idiots that can't play. And can we just draft from a team? Like, can we just draft from, like, an LSU instead of, you know, Denzel Mims being, I think he's from Baylor, right? Like, can we just, if you're good enough to make it to LSU, can we just draft from people that are talented enough to make it to the highest level of college? Like,
all right, Mike,
why does it have to be this hard?
Give me your plan. All right, you're in the room with Howie, or excuse me, you're on the conference call with Howie. You got a crystal clear connection to his front, his office and his home, and you're telling him at 21 who to take. Who is it?
Oh, I'm muting his line, and I'm just taking over, and I'm taking Justin Jefferson, and just saying, sit down, shut up, you moron. No one cares what you have to say. And here's your high five, nerd.
Jeez.
Mike, God bless. How are you making out in all the craziness now, my friend? How you doing?
I'm currently at a grocery store wearing a mask like an idiot. You know, whatever. Like, life's
making, where are you doing that for other people? I wear the mask when I go out, the rarity that I go out now.
I mean, like, we didn't have to wear masks all along. Now we got to wear masks now. It's ridiculous. Like,
yeah, there's a pandemic going on, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to. I don't know if you're
Well, there's been a pandemic the whole time, but now all of a sudden we got to wear masks. And they told us earlier on that masks don't work. So, like, what's the deal? Like, we can't keep flipping our information here.
Well, you sound great through the mask, all right? I'll tell you
Thank
that
you.
Much.
I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Hang in there, all right? Okay.
Have a good one.
We'll see you. Yeah, okay, that obviously was not a positive phone.
He might be one person in this world where the pandemic has not really affected him at all. His outlook on life is basically still the same. Probably wakes up in the same mood every day. Just, you know, different problems and where to direct his anger. So that, you know, good for Mike. It hasn't changed him much.
Is he, I don't know, does he feel more comfortable because more people are in the same mindset as he is? Like, there's always something to worry about and criticize?
Yeah, maybe he, you know what, this might actually be a good time for Mike. Like, he's seeing people the way he's seeing his own world through other people's eyes.
I feel like we're all becoming better people.
I had to do a serious dude yesterday when I went to the store.
Really?
Yeah, so I go to the store. We needed something broke in the house, and I had to go to, you know, a home improvement place. So I go, and we're leaving. I pay, and we're leaving. There's an older man in front of me that has, like, one of those, you know, big carts. You know, he's got, like, 5 or 6 gallons of paint. So he's got a flat cart. So he's pushing it, but he's going kind of slowly. So I'm maintaining my distance behind. All of a sudden, I feel like a little nudge from behind. This guy comes skirting along and, you know, walks right past, walks out. And I'm serious, dude. I had to give him a serious dude through my mask.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, what are we thinking here? And the guy, you know, like, oh, this world sucks or whatever. Maybe it was Mike. I don't know. But, yeah, like, what are we doing? Is 30 seconds that important?
I guess. So there was the guy, like, it wasn't the guy with the flatbed.
No, it was, you know, I'm being, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do, staying 6 feet behind the guy. And the guy was going a little slow, and he's going through his wallet. Like I said, an older gentleman, and he wasn't really aware of his surroundings. But, yeah, some guy just decided, oh, I'm not waiting for this, and comes bustling through, goes shoulder to shoulder with me, through me, and boom, there he goes. So I had to give him a serious dude. Now, I don't know what confrontation etiquette is when you're wearing a mask. Do you, like, pull it down to give the guy a face to, or is, you know, cursing through the mask allowed? Like, what is confrontation etiquette with a mask?
It's allowed. I don't think you can socially distance fight. I don't know how you do that other than yell things, and that might provoke the other person to come over to you and, you know, actually have an altercation. So, yeah, I don't know how you handle that. The guy that I saw that I told you about yesterday where the lady ran, like, basically rubbed right on him to get to the bus in between the car and the bus, and she was trying to, like, shimmy her way through. He just kind of looked at her like, what the hell? I don't think he said anything. At least I didn't hear him say anything. But, yeah, I don't know how you handle those situations now. Not that, like, we're looking to drop the gloves,
so to speak,
with people.
No.
But, like, I don't know how you handle the frustration because you don't know even more so now what that other person might do, considering the threshold is, I don't know, so much smaller now of what's socially acceptable and what's not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know how you would handle that situation now.
I really did, though. After I said it. Yeah, after I said it, the guy walks away, whatever. I'm walking to my car. I did start, like, giggling to myself, like, ooh, what is confrontation etiquette? Like, should I have been a... I also had sunglasses on. So it was a hat, sunglasses, and a mask. What? So it was like, you're unrecognizable when you're confronting somebody. And that's, to me, that was kind of strange. But
were you in the witness protection program?
Yeah, right? I know.
But it's something I don't know about?
It's like you're somebody else.
It is wild. Like, you think about the interaction you do have when you have to go out and about. And we've cut our public time down just like everybody else. Consider, like, we don't even go grocery shopping. Toots is on the Amazon Prime delivery thing, so we make sure we're like 2 weeks ahead of our grocery orders.
Right.
And then the food, and then the stuff gets delivered, and we're wiping it down. You know what I mean? Like, we got the sanitation wipes and all that. So, like, when you go out, there are people that just don't understand the world they're in right now.
No.
And they just kind of throw it out the window. And,
well, Mike sounds like he's one of them.
Well, no, he had his mask at least.
He had his mask on, but he doesn't understand the world that he's in now.
610-632-0975. You want to get on the conversation. When we come back, we'll talk about this kind of journalistic integrity thing. And Bob, you're the journalist in the room. We're just a couple of guys that talk sports. You've went through the ringer. You come from a journalist. You come from a dynasty of journalists, as a matter of fact. What Jay Glazer did and the way some people were going about the Roy Halladay story yesterday, we'll get to that in a second. And that's what we'll kick around when we come back here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, I got to talk to you right now about our friends at Dietzen Watson, who invite you to support local business and order takeout from the real family deli in your neighborhood, Dietzen Watson Family Delis. Local businesses have been hit extremely hard, some of the hardest hit, as a matter of fact, during this national emergency, and now is your chance to make a difference. You'll not only be doing something good for the community, you'll also be getting some of the most delicious handcrafted hoagies made with Dietzen Watson quality premium meats and cheeses. Order from the real family delis like Old City Market in Old City, Philadelphia, Bria and Latella's in Havertown, Linden Deli in Northeast Philadelphia, or one of six Kasha Bakery locations in South Philadelphia and New Jersey. There's never been a more important time right now to support local business. So order takeout from a real family deli today. To find one near you, visit phillydeli.com. That's realphillydeli.com. Realphillydeli.com. Dietzen Watson, it's a family thing.
Howie speaks on the draft. I'm Sam Wilson, and this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Allstate. If you haven't quoted Allstate lately, it's the perfect time. Now Allstate has new lower auto rates. Call a local Allstate agent and get a quote now. Yesterday, Howie Roseman spoke to the media to discuss the upcoming NFL draft. Howie told John Clark of NBC Sports Philly that the team is not just trying to collect talent, but rather trying to build a solid team. Roseman stated it's about adding the right fits for the Eagles in the short term and, most importantly, the long term. Out of Howie's 9 years running the board for the Eagles, he has made trades in the first round in six of those drafts. Broncos star Von Miller released yesterday that he has tested positive for the coronavirus. Miller stated that he felt it was important to share his diagnosis to show that the virus can affect anyone. For more news on the current sports shutdown, keep it locked in right here to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Sam Wilson on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Barzetta in the Morning
with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch
on 97.5 The Fanatic. Your next chance to win $500 and qualify to win $10,000 in our Fanatic 500 Fast Cash Contest. It's coming up at 8 a.m. Listen to get your Fast Cash keyword and a chance at banking $500 fast with 97.5 The Fanatic.
Right now, staying connected is more important than ever. And fast, reliable internet from Xfinity can help. We have plans to fit every budget, with speeds up to a gig. You can find the one that's right for you at Xfinity.com. And because your safety is our top priority, we'll ship you a self-install kit on us to make setting up your internet quick, safe, and easy. No tech visit required. And our simple digital tools will help you manage your account online or with the Xfinity My Account app. We're doing everything we can to help you stay close to the things that matter to you. So whether you need to check in on family, video chat with coworkers, or just take a minute to relax with your favorite shows and movies, know that we're maintaining a safe and reliable network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. At Xfinity, we're committed to keeping you connected. Find great offers and value today at Xfinity.com. Restrictions apply. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
Get your Wawa order faster and save time with mobile ordering on the Wawa app. Browse our menu of hoagies and salads made your way. Soups, sides, handcrafted lattes, and more. Just order and prepay in the app, then pick up and go. You can even pick a time. From morning to late night, we're here to make it easier to get your Wawa favorites. Order ahead on the Wawa app today. Gotta have a Wawa. Get your Wawa favorites delivered right to your door with Wawa Delivery. From hoagies and mac and cheese to lattes and smoothies, it's all made fresh and out for delivery when you want it, even late night. Add snacks like chips, ice cream, even soft pretzels, or drinks like soda or Wawa iced tea. Right now, when you order through DoorDash, you can receive free delivery fees on all your favorite Wawa items. Head to DoorDash.com or download the DoorDash app. Order Wawa Delivery today.
Businesses of all sizes are earning valuable financial incentives from PECO to save energy and reduce costs in lighting, heating, and cooling systems, plus renovation projects and much more. Boost your bottom line and benefit from lower operating costs, less maintenance, and reduced overhead when you invest in higher efficiency equipment. These valuable incentives from PECO can help you take greater control of your energy use, making your business more profitable. So don't miss out. See how much your business can earn today at PECO.com/more savings.
There will be parties again soon, and family gatherings. There'll be parades and sporting events and concerts. To help our communities when they come back together, respond to the 2020 census now. Spend a few minutes online today to impact the next 10 years of healthcare, infrastructure, and education. Respond online today to make America's tomorrow brighter. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
The Home Depot is here to help, and we have many ways to help. You can download our app or go online to find the essential products and information you need quickly. You can order what you need online, and we can have it waiting for you at the store, or get free delivery on most orders over $45. We also have thousands of how-to videos for the projects and repairs you need to make. We're here to help. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. Some exclusions apply.
At AutoZone, we've always been there to help get you what you need when you need it. And that hasn't changed. That's why we want to let you know AutoZone stores are still open. Whether it's a quality part or a free battery test to help you stay on the road, we've got what you need. And if you do happen to need anything fast, we've got free store pickup inside the store or curbside, your choice, as well as next day delivery. Our stores are open and we're ready to help make the job easier. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
She used to play hide-and-seek in your backyard. Now, she's getting married in it. So when you see a bare spot, you need something that patches it fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington has been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
Right now, it feels like the world's standing still. But if you look to the land, it's a whole different story. From farms to backyards, wheels are turning, seeds are being planted, animals are getting fed, grass is growing, and families are giving their all to the soil. Because no matter how uncertain things get, the land never stops. So to all those linked to the land, John Deere says thank you. We're here for you because we all run together. Nothing runs like a deer.
Farsetta in the morning, now.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
Coming up at 9 o'clock today, we'll talk to Tom Moore. He'll join us, Calkins Media Group, and we'll break down some of the stuff with the not only the draft, but some NBA things being floated around. There is a story out there that Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert don't like each other. I wonder why that would be. Oh, my goodness. And Donovan Mitchell might be traded. Apparently, they're more likely to move on from Donovan Mitchell than they are from Rudy Gobert, which is an interesting little story there, Bobby.
Yeah, it goes to the it's what sucks about being a GM for a pro sports team. Two guys don't get along. You have really good talents there. Gobert still growing into what he can be, but you know, obviously a centerpiece of a good defense out there. And you know, Donovan Mitchell's one of these up and coming, you know, borderline star players, but because they don't like each other, You have to fit what they want.
So we'll get into that a little bit later with Tom Moore. And Tom, obviously a columnist, so we'll talk even
and a good ping pong player, Mark.
You mention that every
time.
Yeah,
he used to kick my ass almost every time we played at Sixers practices.
I can vouch for a very steady, consistent baseline jumper from playing Tom Moore at the Doylestown YMCA when I was growing up. I would see Tom Moore there. Very consistent game. Great mid-range game.
Yeah, he was. He did have a nice basketball game, yes.
Very consistent, say the least. I was unaware until you told me about his ping pong skills, so we'll have to get a sample of that at some point.
No, let's not bring it up because it brings back bad memories. I lost a lot of money to him. So.
Oh, wow. All right. Nah, interesting. No money. Movie tickets, dinners, drinks, anything? Nothing? No.
I probably did buy him a crimpet from the vending machine there. Yeah,
you're a nice man. You're a nice man, Bobby. So yesterday,
but what kind of crimpet?
It was of Tom's choosings, but I believe he preferred chocolate, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm a butterscotch man.
I like butterscotch too.
Yeah, I don't do the jelly.
Yeah, jelly. It's not for me.
Don't waste my time. Butterscotch crimping is what I like to go
in
with.
In the fridge? It's a nice item.
I've had it right off the belt.
Oh,
right
off the conveyor right belt the into seven. Your hands? Oh, is there a warmness to it? Like a, an out-of-the-oven warmness? Or is it just kind of room temp?
Bob?
Yeah?
It's one of the most delicious things I've ever eaten in my life.
Wow.
Right off the conveyor belt, right at the factory, Tasty Cake Factory. It got taken off the belt, handed to me, and here's the thing. Yes, of course it was warm. It was just baked.
Right.
What I did not expect, the crispiness. There was like a harder outer shell type of thing because it had just came out of the oven. I guess the air just hit it, and it made get a little solid, a little solid. Oh. And it was one of the best. Like if you tell me I can have like a top five dessert after a nice meal, of all the desserts I've ever had in my life, that's one of them. Not even kidding you. Tasty cake right off the belt. Boom. One of my favorite things ever. I know that's a privileged thing to be able to experience, but I got to experience it, so I got to be real.
Privileged. We know that.
Yeah. That was one of the that's how you know. If you ate a crimpet right off the belt at the Tasty Cake Factory. That's
just one of the many luxuries I had as a child.
that's how you knew you were at least upper middle class. You got that opportunity as a kid. But this is a real thing, and I had trouble wrapping my mind around it because you see Jay Glazer teasing this story 2 days ago about there's a big story coming out, and he's been doing like a lot of us, doing a lot of the stuff at home now for Fox Sports 1. So he's no different. He's doing a lot of the things at home. He had Bruce Arians on the show the other day, which was a cool thing. That was a good interview. I caught that. And then I start to see this story like, hey, don't miss Jay Glazer tonight. Don't miss Jay Glazer. Hey, big thing happening with Jay Glazer. Jay Glazer's got something happen tonight. And I'm like, all right, well, what's he got? And what he had was the fact that Brian Allen, center for the Rams, tested positive for COVID-19. That's the story that he was teasing. Now, it's a story because, it's not even...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The first NFL person to have it is the first NFL player to have it. Sean Payton, 3 weeks ago now, was recovering from coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees came out to donate, $5 million to the state of Louisiana to combat this. So pretty much you could guarantee he's the next governor of the state. And then you also see the story with Sean Payton saying that he was tired. He felt like a lot of people might have gotten sick over Mardi Gras and all that down in on Bourbon Street. So it was Sean Payton, Brian Allen, and then yesterday, Vaughn Miller announced that he also has tested positive for COVID-19. He's doing that to raise awareness so everyone realizes how real this whole thing is. But my issue is the journalistic integrity that surrounds a story like that. I don't like the idea. Like I would have a hard time saying at 6 o'clock when we start the show, don't miss at 9:30 when big story, and it's like, hey, by the way, I got coronavirus. Like, that seems shallow. Now, I know that would be about me, but I don't want to involve you two. But if I involve Jamie or Bob or Sam, that would be pretty damn low, wouldn't it? If it was, hey, stay tuned, don't miss it, one of us has corona. Like, what the hell? Like, that seems rather shallow journalistically. But look, I don't try to paint myself as a journalist. I'm a guy that gets to talk about sports on the radio and have a good time. That's what I do. But coming from your background, Bob, it seems rather odd to me to use that as a tease during the pandemic that we're all in.
Yeah, it's almost like you're playing to the audience type of thing. You know, people are dying for news right now. People are starved for sports news. And you decided to tease them with something that, you know, was borderline, it's very personal and borderline not sports news worthy. You know, it's a shame. Jay Glazer, I respect. I think his reporting is phenomenal. I think he's you know, accumulated terrific sources through the years and has the trust of many around the NFL. I thought he'd be above this. That would be a move that, like, an up-and-comer, a guy that you're just hearing of would do. Oh, I got news. I got something. Right. Check me out at 11. And you drop that. It seemed below Jay Glazer. I don't know why. Did he promote something else? Did he promote, like, oh, we're going to be doing this? Was there a hook to it, Mark? I don't know. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Not that I know of. That
it was head-scratching. And as I said, a Jay Glazer type to have to do that, obviously he doesn't. And why he did, I have no idea.
It seems odd to me. And then the other thing that also left me scratching my head was the way some people kind of talked about the Roy Halladay situation. And I know, like, a caller called up about it to this radio station yesterday and talked about it in an odd light. This is all stuff that, as I even talked about the story yesterday, I felt like this is stuff that all came out really in early 2018. Roy Halladay died in the plane crash where he was piloting the flight in 2017, November of 2017. I feel like it was early 2018 that the story came out that he had drugs in his body at the time. Well, yesterday, I think Brandi Halladay, his wife, his widow, came out and said, Brandi Halladay came out and said, hey, every family's got the skeletons in their closet, essentially. Mm-hmm. Kind of let my husband rest in peace, let Roy rest in peace. I felt like we did a due diligence by talking about the story that was out there, but that was more or less to inform, not necessarily offer an opinion on it. Because my take, if there's even a take you could have on this, is that it really doesn't impact me how I feel about Roy Halladay. I feel like in 2013, the man had a lot of issues trying to keep his career going, couldn't do it, as many athletes try to do when they don't have that competitive outlet anymore of playing professional sports. They looked at other things. He looked into getting into flying. You know, he looked into doing some other things. I know that can be a big struggle for guys. I'm not here to pass judgment on him. I'm here to pass along a story. I think there's a journalistic thing that has to surround stories like this where they're crazily sensitive, sensitive issues that affect more than just one person, the one person in the story. Trying to tease a story like Jay Glazer did that turned out to involve the pandemic, I think is low. And trying to give a piping hot take on Brandi Halladay and what happened with Roy Halladay 3 years ago is rather odd as well. I don't know where you would stand on it, Bob, journalistically, but just from going back to my journalism 101 days at Temple University, it just seems like there are other avenues that need to be pursued.
Yeah, that's the assignment you don't want to get. You know, the call you don't want to get, like, hey, look, we found out that you know, they came in with specifics about what drugs were in Roy Halladay's body when he did pass. And I guess Matt Breen, I think, wrote it yesterday. And it's an assignment that, yeah, you have to do because it's news, as you said, Mark. I don't go there either. It doesn't affect anything about what I think of Roy Halladay, the baseball player. I feel bad. He seemed to have had a problem, and it looks like it cost him his life. And, you know, that's a personal thing and that, you know, I don't care to dive into, and I feel horrible for his family that has to relive it. And I thought her statement, I thought Brandi Halladay's statement yesterday was phenomenal. I thought it was absolutely perfect. And if that doesn't make you stop in your tracks of wanting to give another opinion of it, nothing will. You're just not sensitive to the reasoning.
And then the other thing, damn, his son looks just like him. pitches like him. He's going to Penn State. Pitches like him. Looks like him.
Is that where he's going? He's going to Penn State?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't see that. I missed that. Wow.
Take that, Canada. Ha! Terrific. We got him.
It just makes me sad. I want to let the story just, you know, be the Halliday story and nobody else really touch it ever again. Like, I don't think there's anything new to gain from it. But looking back on it, the one piece that was new information was that he was in and out of facilities in 2013.
Yeah, 2013 and 2015, he had treatment.
Yeah, and to look back at the 2013 season, he just was not himself. If you remember, he was overheating.
Yeah.
He was getting red-faced.
Really?
He had the one game where I think he only pitched a third of an inning, and that was his last start ever. So in hindsight, the guy was struggling right before our eyes, and we didn't even know it. And it just makes me sad for him and his family that they were going through such a tough time right under our nose, and we all had no idea. So it's just a really sad story that I wish would just stay with the Hallidays and never really be touched again in the media.
See, just in terms of his career, right, as one of the greatest pitchers I've ever watched pitch in baseball, just in terms of his career, when we talk about guys like, oh, isn't it sad to see a guy, you know, hang around even though he might be past his prime, it ended quickly for Roy Halladay. Like, it ended, like, his career ended abruptly, right? Yeah. Just talking about his career, it was very abrupt.
Yeah, it was the last game he pitched, I believe it was one third of an inning, and he got removed with arm fatigue.
Yeah, and I remember you had the announcements come out about there was material in his shoulder.
Yeah.
That it wasn't on an original x-ray, and they had to do another one, and that's where he was going to L.A. for treatment. Like, what I'm saying is, I don't find sadness in how that career ends. That guy pitched until he literally couldn't pitch anymore.
Right.
That's why I don't have an issue. Like, when we talk about other players, oh, that player needs to hang it up. Or, like, we talked about Jason Peters, whether or not he'd come back here as a backup. Oh, that'd be sad. No, the guy's still playing the game that he loves playing. If I had the athletic ability to do that, if, God forbid, they told me that I couldn't do radio. Like, I love doing radio, right? It's my first love. I wanted to do it since I was 11 years old. I'm going to do this till I'm blue in the face. Like, I that's how I planned on doing it. You're going to have to drag me away from a microphone. NFL players that have to deal with the physicality factor of football, professional athletes have to deal with the physicality where your body literally tells you, no, it's over.
Yeah.
It's not you mentally saying, yeah, I think it's time to walk away. I don't fault players like Roy Halladay that literally pitched until he couldn't, literally played until he couldn't. Roy Halladay is probably the shining example of that. Brett Favre's another example of that. His face was literally thrown into frozen turf in Minnesota for him to really hang it up. And he had been struggling before that anyway. But their careers abruptly end. And those guys that have to get dragged off the field, I don't fault them for it at all. I don't find sadness in it. It doesn't tarnish my thought process of them just talking about, again, their careers. It makes me actually hold them up on a higher pedestal. The fact that they loved it so much, they literally had to be taken off the field.
Yeah,
and that's what I think of when I think of Roy Halladay.
Yeah, and the memories I have of him retiring were also that he was such a perfectionist that he was like, I am not doing this anymore with a body that won't allow me to pitch to the standards that I'm used to, right? And so he did. That's it. Done. Out. And people look at players and stuff like, oh, they have all the money in the world. They're retired. Okay. But imagine being 35 years old. Imagine being 35 years old and you're looking for something to wake up to every day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll wake up and count my money. Okay, really? Really? Sometimes you have to humanize it a little bit. And that's where the line comes with this whole Halladay stuff from yesterday. You know, they are human beings. They're professional players and we admire and we cover and we talk about. And that's their living. Their life. There's a decisive line there of what their life is, and we have to be really careful when we try to cross over into that.
Yeah, again, we're not that different. I hate to break the news, but we are all people, and we all have the same impulses. By the way, Tim's hitting us up on Twitter saying Glazer got the business on Twitter the other night, and yeah, I saw that. Teasing NFL breaking news for 24 hours, only to use someone else's misfortune of COVID-19 for ratings, completely disgusting. Tim, we couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is just a low move. And I know there's people that don't like Jay Glazer already. I don't have any issue with him. I think the guy, you know, has worked his ass off. Bob, you mentioned the contacts he's made.
Yeah.
Going back to Lane Johnson and his misfortune with either not reading the label or whatever happened with his PED testing positive for that, Jay Glazer was the guy that was at the forefront of that and was one of the guys that kind of was defending Lane. That's a connection he had. I don't fault a guy for working his tail off, making those connections, and then breaking news. I have an issue more so with somebody teasing it. And I think that's a good way to put it, using someone else's misfortune to capitalize on that opportunity for selfish gain. As I said, if we knew one of us tested positive and I was teasing it during the show, I would be so disappointed in myself, and I would hope you guys would at least call me out on it. Not that I would ever would do it, but using this pandemic for a gain is low. I put it actually on the same ring that I would for somebody that was hoarding masks or somebody that was selling hand sanitizer for like $1,000 a bottle. Like, you don't use a situation like this for personal gain. When other people you know, need other things, I think that's such a low thing to do. Look, we've applauded the people that are stepping up big time and helping everybody out during the pandemic. You also have to go the other side and condemn the people that are trying to look for, you know, opportunity in all this as well.
Yeah, and it, you know, the player Allen, for a center from a West Coast team, like,
right?
I am certainly not backing Jay Glazer at all. But it wasn't even a name. Like, I mean, if you're saying I got big news on this, and you say Tom Brady has tested positive in his career, you know, he's rethinking his future. Okay, mate, but again, you're also looking at someone else's misfortunes to promote yourself, which is never a good thing. It really did shock me. I just thought Jay Glazer was way above this, and it just seems like in a time where a lot of things are becoming irrelevant, maybe he's thinking he is and he had to do something. I don't know, but you know, the other thing that I love about Jay Glazer is how misfitting all his suits are. You know, that's one of my highlights of every Sunday, to watch him come out with a suit that barely fits him, because I think he's like 5'2 and like 300 pounds of all muscle, and it's hard to get a suit that fits him just right. Mark, you ever notice that?
I have noticed
trying
that.
Trying to button it.
You know what? Speaking of people that we want to applaud during all this, that's why 97.5 The Fanatic is taking part with Health Heroes. And we do have our health hero today. Our health hero today is Megan Edwards. Giving birth while giving birth while COVID-19 positive can be traumatic. So Megan Edwards went all out to support the new mother, providing much needed emotional support, as well as teaching her about care of herself and her newborn. Her warm, compassionate approach was just what the patient needed. Go to 975thefanatic.com right now to nominate the health hero you would like us to highlight. Check out our webpage, social media pages, and listen on the air every day to see if your health hero will be highlighted by 975 The Fanatic. Every health hero will be highlighted by giving them a $50 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts. So again, today's health hero, Megan Edwards. So here's to you, Megan. Thank you very much for
taking part in
just being a positive influence on this world right now during the pandemic. All made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your family comfortable at home. Go to nopaybryant.com to find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help make sure your air conditioning system is working properly. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll let you hear a little bit from Andy Weidel, who spoke during the press conference yesterday, virtual press conference yesterday. We'll also spin it back to some of the top plans that the Eagles might have to move up or back in this draft coming up a week from yesterday. First round, all our questions will be answered in less than a week now. 610-632-0975 if you want to get through. Time of the Fanatic is 7:42, and if you want a greener, weed-free lawn, one that is safer for your family and your pets, you got to do what I do. Choose Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company of choice. Natural Lawn uses safer, organic-based lawn care products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. It creates a safer lawn for you, your family, and your pets to enjoy. With Natural Lawn, you won't have to sacrifice beauty for safety either. For over 30 years, Natural Lawn has provided homeowners with greener grass and fewer weeds using their exclusive organic-based lawn care programs. This is not a one-size-fits-all type of service. No, it's customized treatments for your lawn's specific need. Wet, dry, sunny, or shady. Whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's programs will deliver the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. And right now, they have a special deal for our Fanatic listeners. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and receive free seeding every year. That's a free seating every year. Call Natural Lawn today and tell Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Eagles All-Pro returns. I'm Sam Wilson, and this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. You may not always need a water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. Jason Kelce announced yesterday on Instagram that he will be returning to the Eagles next season for his 10th year with the team. The All-Pro center has mentioned possible retirement at the end of the past couple of seasons, but yesterday he announced that the only thing he'll be retiring from for now will be arm wrestling. Kelce will be an unrestricted free agent in 2022. Joel Embiid and DeSean Jackson joined the All-In Challenge yesterday. Embiid is offering a chance to warm up with him on the court during pregame, courtside seats, and his game-worn jersey, while DeJax is offering a trip with him to Turks and Caicos. For more news on the current sports shutdown, keep it locked in right here to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Sam Wilson on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Farzetta in the Morning
with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello, this is Donna from DHY Motorsports. As a family-owned and operated business, the safety of our customers and staff at this time is of utmost importance. We understand that your motorcycle, slingshot, etc. may be your only means of transportation. So we're open for sales, service, parts, and insurance through curbside pickup. You can call or text us at 856-848-8500, and we will be there to help you with a touchless delivery. As a community, we are focusing on staying away together, and we want you to know we are taking every precaution to make sure our staff and customers have a safe environment to get what they need. Riding is a great way to clear your mind, and with the beautiful weather approaching, we want to make sure you and your family can enjoy it. From our DHY family to yours, we pray for health, happiness, and hopefully a great year of riding. We will get through this together. We're here for you like we have been for the past 40 years. You can get more details at DHY.com. Located at 1300 Clements Bridge Road in Defford, New Jersey. Please stay safe, everyone.
Parks Casino and Sportsbook misses all of their great friends and visitors. Please stay safe and support your friends, family, and neighbors during this time. Check Parks Casino and Sportsbook on Facebook and Twitter for news and updates. Must be 21, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Parks Casino, the number one casino in Pennsylvania, hopes you are staying safe during this period. Please check Parks Casino and Sportsbook on Facebook and Twitter for news and updates. Parks Casino and Sportsbook looks forward to seeing you very soon. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Tasty Cake, we're all about making happy happen, even at the DMV.
Can I help you?
Yes, we're here to make someone happy.
You sure you got the right place?
May I offer you one of Tasty Cake's iconic butterscotch crimpets?
I suppose. Mmm, not bad. Pretty good, actually.
Ma'am, did I just see you smile?
Don't push your luck.
And there you have it. Another very happy customer.
Next.
Proving all it takes is a Tasty Cake to make happy happen.
Hey, it's Mike Miss. Just because we are keeping our distance doesn't mean music has to stop. Introducing Live From Home, Live Nation's all-new virtual hub, updated daily with live streams, exclusive artist content, new music, and more, keeping you connected to your favorite artists from Questlove to Metallica. Go live now at livenation.com/livefromhome. That's livenation.com/livefromhome.
This is Joanne Jenkins, CEO of AARP. The coronavirus continues to affect us all, and we are here actively supporting you and your community. Every day, we're providing trusted information from top health experts, sharing tools to help protect families from fraud, and creating resources to support family caregivers everywhere. As always, you can count on AARP to advocate for you and your family. Join us and stay connected at aarp.org/coronavirus.
She used to play hide-and-seek in your backyard. Now, she's getting married in it. So when you see a bare spot, you need something that patches it fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington has been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. Head to your local retailer to pick up One Step Complete.
Right now, it feels like the world's standing still. But if you look to the land, it's a whole different story. From farms to backyards, wheels are turning, seeds are being planted, animals are getting fed, grass is growing, and families are giving their all to the soil. Because no matter how uncertain things get, the
the land never stops. So to all those linked to the land, John Deere says thank you. We're here for you because we all run together. Nothing runs like a deer.
The Home Depot is here to help, and we have many ways to help. You can download our app or go online to find the essential products and information you need quickly. You can order what you need online, and we can have it waiting for you at the store. Or we can even deliver over a million items free. And we have thousands of how-to videos for the projects and repairs you need to make. We're here to help. The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
It's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best 4G LTE networks, same as the big carriers, but just for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G, saving you up to half the cost of the big carriers. No contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Now, more of Farzetta in the Morning
with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up top of the hour, about 10 minutes from now, we're going to let you know how you can win up to $10,000. Not too bad right there with our Fanatic $500 cash giveaway that we're doing, a fast cash giveaway. Also, we're going to have a little fun with DeSean Jackson and his vacation with a fan as part of the all-in challenge. It's a wild thing. We'll get back into it in a second. But right now, Andy Weidel, the Eagles, he's stepping in the Joe Douglas role, formerly just the assistant to the director of player personnel, now really working hand-in-hand with Howie Roseman and setting the draft board.
I'm kind of excited to watch the Jets draft. To see if Andy or if Joe Douglas is good or
making
bad.
Moves? On his own? Making moves?
Right. Well, making moves and how their draft, you know, kind of grades out because I don't know.
Yeah.
He had a big input when he was here and the drafts weren't great. They weren't, I don't think, as bad as most people make them out to be, but they weren't good.
Oh, yeah, no. There was no huge
so
impact,
really. If the Jets drafts suck, we might have a and the Eagles draft is good, we might know officially that Joe Douglas sucks.
Is Howie kind of rooting against the Jets right now?
I would think so.
No, like, I hope Joe looks stupid.
You want to be friendly with him. They're at 11.
They could be a trade partner.
That could be a partner. You could dance with them.
So one of the interesting things that came out of yesterday, before we get to Andy Weidel's comments, the only team that Howie Roseman really mentioned other than the Eagles was the Jets. Because he mentioned Joe Douglas during the conversation yesterday. Mm. And I don't even think it was in reference to working with Andy and having some new personnel in the front office that he's going to be working with, at least in different roles now. He kind of talked about Joe Douglas like, you know, you don't know what, you know, a team like the Jets with Joe Douglas, what they could do. It was kind of like in that light. And I'm like,
Well, it's interesting. I listened to Mike Tannenbaum, the former GM of the Dolphins and Jets, I believe.
And Jets, yeah.
Yeah, and he was talking about, you know, the new challenges facing GMs on draft night when it comes to trades in particular. And he was basically saying that I think a lot of these trades are going to be more or less predetermined packages, meaning there's not going to be as much on-the-fly willy-nilly trades. It's right. More going to be, hey, you know, a couple days before the draft, hey, we really want to move up two spots. What do you got for your pick? And he said, you know, a lot of these GMs are going to have these trades well in mind way before draft day. So it is interesting that he mentions Joe Douglas.
I think that it's not only a sign of the times, the situation that we're in right now, but I think that's what they do, generally speaking, going into the draft. But this year in particular, they'll probably have that in place more so than ever when it comes to the draft, having those ideas in place. Because you don't know when there could be a hiccup in communication. There could be a hiccup with the internet, Wi-Fi, whatever it might be. To just have any conversation like that out of the way and already implemented where you just have to kind of say, hey, that thing we talked about, you still on board? Cool, let's pull the trigger on it. So, yeah, you look at where the Jets are picking right now at number 11. It's weird. You look across the board, a lot of people have them going after a wide receiver right there. That could be the first run of wide receiver that you really see, whether or not you start with the big three or the moderately sized five. I don't know what you want to term it. But I think if you are looking at that run on wide receivers, Bob, like you were mentioning earlier, and that's our all. That's, I think that's our concern is that you see that happen around 8, 9, or 10, and you go, okay, it's beginning. Let's hope there's one there at 21, or is how we going to get aggressive to move up to make sure that he can get one of those five names that we mentioned earlier. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see how all of that plays out. But one of the things that Andy Weidel got into yesterday, at least he was asked about during this about 45-minute conference call with different assembled media, a virtual press conference, if you will, was the idea of not forcing a pick. Knowing what you need going into the draft, but also paying enough attention to what's available and who will have the greatest impact. Taking the best available as opposed to drafting for a need in the first round. Here's Andy Weidel on not really forcing a need with his say in this year's draft. Here he is.
Yeah, you just don't want to get in a situation where then you force things. And obviously it's human nature to see a hole on your roster or see a position that you want to upgrade and feel like you just are going to use this opportunity to do just that. But I don't want to compound the problem by making a pick that doesn't really help. And I think we've shown that after the draft, there are going to be opportunities to improve our football team, whether they're in May, whether they're in August, whether they're during the season. And so we don't look at this as the draft as the last stop for us to help our team for this season.
Obviously, that was Howie. That wasn't Andy. But Andy Weidel echoed those same sentiments when he went on to, because Howie kind of threw it to Andy after he got done his explanation. And one of the things that Andy also got into, aside from just seconding that, was the experience he's had in the past when he was with the Steelers in their organization as a scout. And he was really helping the evaluation and learning from a guy like Chuck Knoll. Mm. So when Andy did speak towards the end of the press conference, he talked about the wide receiver position and evaluating the talent at the wide receiver position. And also talking about a guy's speed at the combine versus his speed in a game. And this is what he's going to be paying attention to, not just as a director of player personnel, but also as a former scout.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, time speed and play speed. And I think you talk about when you're watching a guy play and, you know, the sometimes the 40 times don't match up with the play speed. But a lot of times you got to come back to what you see on tape. Are they running by people consistently? Do they create gaps of separation? I think those are all things. And it's evident when you do tape study on players and you see sometimes the quality of defensive backs that players go up against. But there's a lot of fast receivers in this draft. And, you know, the play speed, I remember my time with the Steelers, Coach Knoll talked about, they always talked about, Chuck Knoll talked about play speed and play strength is different than time speed and, you know, measured strength sometimes. So yeah, I think all those things, they go into, you know, the equation when you're factoring these players and how they run.
When I look at those comments that he made, when I think about it, I think about the five receivers that I mentioned, the big three that we've been talking about nonstop, and then the additional two, I guess you'd call it right now, with guys like Justin Jefferson and also another guy like Denzel Mims. Mims is a great example, I think, of size, speed, strength would be a great example there. Justin Jefferson would fall into that category. CeeDee Lamb would certainly fall into that category. You would look at Jerry Jeudy as well. Like, basically, all those guys factor in. The one name that has almost been forgotten about in this draft because one of the factors is so much in question with him is T. Higgins, and that's speed.
Yeah.
And that's a name that started out maybe fourth or fifth best in people's minds in the draft. They got cautious about the 40 time, about running, what, a 4.75 40. Supposedly, he ran recently a 4.5. You would expect a guy like that from high school to get a little faster in college. Evidently, he did. But I still don't think he's high on a lot of people's lists for taking in the first round. How he got into the idea of not having first round grades on all 32 players that might be taken in the first round. He goes, there's no way all those guys have necessarily first round grades, first round talent, yet they might still be taken in the first round. So that lets me believe he might be more in the school of trading back in the draft. I'd rather them know, have done their homework, which I'm sure they have, and know who they're going to go after at 21. If they feel like they can draft up, move up, and get one of those five names I mentioned earlier, not T. Higgins included, but if they can get one of those guys, you're going to get an impactful wide receiver. You just might not have the game breaker right out of the gate. That's the thing that I'm concerned about, is that they might get too comfortable and say, you know what, one of these guys will still be available. Let's move back a couple of spots instead of up. That's what I don't want to see, especially when you have the 8 picks.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting. That, the number 12, now you talked about the Jets at 11, probably going to look at receiver. The Raiders are at 12, and I think they're absolutely going to look at receiver. I just hope that their pick there isn't the last of the big three. I hope maybe the Raiders started, maybe the Jets started, but I hope somebody prior to them doesn't start the run of the big three, and therefore the big three are done by 12. Now what's going to happen? Is Jefferson going to be gone? Is maybe somebody else like a Mims going to be gone when you get to 21? Then it starts to get dicey, and then you wonder what the Eagles are going to start thinking. Do they go elsewhere? Do they, as you said, Mark, trade back because there might not be a difference among the five or six next receivers that they're looking at. I think the draft earlier is going to play a lot into what the Eagles are going to do.
Yeah, you look at the Jets right there at 11. Then you also look at the Raiders, like you mentioned. You also look at San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
You could also look, you would have the Bucs at 14, and then you would have the Broncos, who could be after a wide receiver as well. So, yeah, you could be looking at maybe even moving up 6 spots by then if you want to try to get one of the big three. If you want to try to get the moderate 5, I'll put it as that, then you could get Justin Jefferson, maybe move up a couple of spots for him, maybe even Denzel Mims, who I think it just continues to get more intriguing. Both Jefferson and Mims get more intriguing to me as this process goes on.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.